In a few minutes, the big business of branding cannabis. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, an emerging new chapter in the mess at Wells Fargo. There are reports this morning that Wells Fargo is close to a $1 billion settlement with federal regulators. It's about what the bank charged customers for car insurance, mortgages. Here's Marketplace's Mariel Segarra.
The bank charged more than 500,000 customers for car insurance they didn't need, leading tens of thousands of them to default on their loans. It also charged a bunch of people for missing a mortgage deadline when the delay was actually the bank's fault. So now it looks like Wells Fargo is ready to settle with federal regulators. And when it comes to banks, the Trump administration has actually been pretty friendly. There's a lot of talk of rolling back regulations, but Trump also promised he wouldn't let Wells Fargo off the hook. Maybe surprisingly, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is also involved in this. Its director, Mick Mulvaney, said this month that the agency would keep going after bad actors. But Mulvaney does take a light approach to enforcement. In the 5 months he's been in charge, the agency hasn't filed any new lawsuits.
Mariel, thank you. Checking numbers, FTSE in London up 0.5%, Dow Future down 0.1%. Big story this week, higher interest rates. The benchmark 10-year rate is at 2.92%. Today is April 20th, 420, a date associated with smoking cannabis. I'm not getting into the competing theories for why this association. Go online, you'll see. Performing math on a Dylan song title yields 420 is just one of the ideas. But after California legalization in January, weed remains fully criminalized in just 17 of the 50 states. So when do the big national brands swoop in? Drake Sutton Shearer is the CEO of Prohibited Media. He runs a cannabis-themed content channel online and has served as an advisor to Wall Street and beyond.
It's a war of brands that's coming up in the future. And I really think now you've got a lot of aspirational brands, a lot of design logos. There's more than 60,000 cannabis companies in the North America alone. So there's a lot of competition to build mind share with audiences.
You know, I was just thinking about comparisons to the alcoholic spirits industry. Without branding, that's all just moonshine, ethanol, and water. But over the years, people have developed passions about Grey Goose versus Absolut. In the cannabis field, those really haven't gelled yet.
Over the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to really see an emergence of quality brands. You know, in my opinion, the future, you know, big brands have yet to be created. I'm sure that private equity or the large RCPG or CPG portfolio companies will come along and buy brands, but they'll look to buy at scale. So we're just a long way away from that.
CPG, consumer packaged goods. And you've talked to, for instance, Wall Street types about some of this?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Categorically, it's, you know, looking to be a $100 billion plus industry. Tobacco's $100 billion. Alcohol's a couple of hundred billion. So, you know, with Constellation Brands, who owns the Corona brand, recently, you know, investing a couple of hundred million into Canopy Growth in Canada, the number one cannabis producer, it's safe to say that alcohol and cannabis will be mixing very soon, coming to a store near you. And I think that, you know, in the cannabis industry, we'll start to siphon some of that value from alcohol over to cannabis.
I mean, what does complicate this, right, is that the federal government still prohibits national advertising in this regard. You also have an attorney general, Jeff Sessions, who seems against the liberalization on a nationwide scale. Makes it hard to develop a national strategy at this point.
Sure. I mean, look, it's a very complex and challenging industry. You know, it's really on a state-by-state basis. You know, you've got some companies who are building, you know, brand equity in states and looking to export their IP to other states and internationally. And, you know, and that's going to take some time. But with companies like ourselves, we've had to build our own ecosystem. You know, we've had to build our own media platform. But, you know, it took time to do that because you can't just take a media budget and apply it to Facebook or Google and say, hey, you know, we want to promote these cannabis brands. This doesn't happen today. But we're hoping that changes in the future.
Drake Sutton Shearer is the CEO of Prohibited Media. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Prohibited Media does articles, shows, and other content, which are to marijuana consumers what maybe the fishing channel is to people who like to fish. Just as you count on Marketplace for reliable, in-depth news and information, we're counting on listeners like you to invest in what we do. The more people who support Marketplace, the more that we can do to raise economic intelligence across the country. You'll reap the rewards every time you listen, knowing that you're helping Marketplace make people smarter about the economy and why all this matters. And here's the thing, your donation now will be matched dollar for dollar when you give today, thanks to a generous challenge from our friends at Candida. Become a Marketplace investor at marketplace.org, and thanks for making a difference. The oldest company listed on the Dow Jones Industrial Average, GE, reports profits this morning. That stock is down 21% in the last year. Some on Wall Street say the only way out of the quicksand is for the company to chop off bits of itself and sell them. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
GE has been painstakingly restructuring its wide portfolio of businesses, ranging from aircraft to medical equipment. A key problem, says Alex Dietz at Private Asset Management, is that some of its other core businesses are struggling to turn a profit.
Expectations for this company has really fallen off a cliff. We're still at the point where we're looking for a bottom here.
GE is saddled with an SEC investigation into its accounting practices, and their worker pension is underfunded by $29 billion, the largest deficit of any company on the S&P 500. Some analysts suggest the company sell off its power division, which provides infrastructure to utility companies. But Bloomberg Intelligence analyst Joel Levington says it's not so simple.
It's the liability management side of the balance sheet that they have to address first. They have to operate the assets that they have in a much stronger way.
Levington says by shedding business units, the company would lose revenue. Not a great move. The pathway to profitability, says Levington, comes from squeezing out more profits. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And the Wall Street Journal is reporting today that an outside auditor looked at Facebook's privacy practices last year and gave the social media company an A-OK clean bill of health. This from PricewaterhouseCoopers. And even though Facebook at the time knew that Cambridge Analytica had improperly gotten into the data of millions of Facebook users. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer is Brian Allison. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.